Just beginning at verse 1, we're going to read the first 10 verses. So Luke 15, verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Now, for those of you who were here the night that we read in Luke chapter 18 and spoke about those two men who were not right with God, and then one man who was right with God, we talked about the publican and the Pharisee. And here we have it again, publicans and Pharisees. The publicans were the really bad sinners, people thought, the bad one. And the Pharisees were the religious people. So you'll see now, the publicans and sinners came to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, receives sinners and eateth with them. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, spake this parable unto them. Now, a parable is a story that we can relate to, a story about earthly things that has a lesson for us from heaven. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, something that will apply to every one of us. Verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after? Here's the phrase I want you to get, the first one. That which is lost. That which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. Here's the next phrase, which was lost. In verse number 4, it says, is lost. And in verse 6, it says, was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. Now, the software, we're still working through the software on this, and Mark's doing a good job at keeping up with the scriptures. I would like to concentrate on verse number 4 and verse number 6 for the first part of my message. I would like to talk about that which is lost and that which was lost. Now, those two statements seem to be very, very similar, don't they? We see here, leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. Currently lost. But then we read in verse 6, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now this sounds so simple, and maybe to some it sounds a little petty that I'm making a division here, but we learn a great lesson from the fact that there's a sheep that is lost, and then the sheep that was lost. Well, what does that mean to us? It simply means this. Tonight, in our meeting, you either were lost, or you are lost. You see, a lot of people, when I talk to them about being a Christian and ask, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? They will often say, yes, I am saved. Yes, I am a Christian. But then the follow-up question might be, so when did you get saved? When were you born again? When did you become a Christian? And the word might be, well, I always was. I always was a Christian. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I always was saved. Well, what we're learning tonight from Luke chapter 15 is that a person who is saved was not always saved. A person who is saved, they once were lost. So perhaps tonight, rather than asking you the question, are you saved? I'm going to ask, were you ever lost? Were you ever lost? Now, sometimes a phrase like that gets some blank looks. I'm okay with that. That means I'm not doing my job to explain my point. We're not talking tonight about being lost in the woods. Okay? I often say this, but it's true. PEI is a lovely place to be, Prince Edward Island, and it's a lovely place to live. And the fact is this, you may, in fact, get hurt in the woods on PEI, and you may walk around in circles in the woods in PEI, but chances are very good if you leave one road and you go into the woods, if you just make sure that you keep heading in the same direction, you'll get to another road or a driveway or somebody's farm field. Because PEI is so small with so many roads, it's hard to be lost in the woods. But I've been to Newfoundland, Labrador. And the fact is, if you're in Labrador and you start to walk in over those hills on the south coast, you can walk, walk, and walk, and walk. You can walk all the way to Alaska, right? Or you can walk and walk and walk and think you're going in the same direction, and all of a sudden you're turned and you're facing a totally different direction, and you've been going in the wrong direction for hours. But we're not talking tonight about just being lost in the woods. We are talking about being lost to God, lost in sin. So that it's not just the fact that people are in a position where they don't know where they are. It's that people who are lost in sin are people who are currently perishing. Now I'll tell you the difference. This sheep that the Lord Jesus is talking about, this sheep, he was lost, right? Now he's found. But when he was lost, he wasn't just in a place where he didn't know his way back. You need to think about a sheep now. I don't know if many of us are familiar with the behavior patterns of sheep, but sheep love to eat fresh grass, right? And a sheep typically, a sheep will keep his head down, right? Sheep keeps his head down and just eats a little bit of the grass in front of him. And rather than lift his head up and look around, he just sees more grass in front of him, and he takes another step and he eats a little more grass, right? Eats more, take a step, eat some more, take a step, eat some more, take a step. Now, he could do that for a long time, just grazing on the green grass and never thinking about how far away he is wandering from safety. But that's a good picture of sinners, isn't it? Because quite often, sinners never intend to get far away from safety, right? Just with your head down, you're concentrating on today, and Satan makes sure that there's enough in front of you to get you through today, entertained or busy or otherwise predisposed. You are just taken up with today until tomorrow, and he sets something else in front of you, and there it is for tomorrow. You take another step, And Satan has something to keep you busy for tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, until eventually sinners get so far into sin and so far away from God that they look up and they realize, not only do I not know my way back, but like this sheep, he finds himself in a place where if he stays there, he'll die. You see, this sheep doesn't just end up in another part of the pasture. He ends up in a place of danger. And I think if we connect this maybe with Matthew chapter 18, where there's another parable about a lost sheep, we see that the sheep, he goes so far that he falls into a place where he's caught and he cannot escape. Now, that's the real picture of sin and sinners. Lost. In a place where you're caught. Because sin is not just, the other night as we were talking a separation, we were talking about it as a stain, right? But sin is also a bondage. So that sin has you held captive. The Bible talks about people who are the servants of sin. Now, you don't have to be in the worst kind of sin to be a servant of sin. But the Bible says if you're lost, you are a servant of sin. And here you are caught in a place that you never thought you would be and completely unable to save yourself. That's what it means to be lost. Now, I ask you tonight, are you saved? Or are you lost? I'm not going to try and get inside of your head and get you to give me an answer and me have a conversation with you. But I will tell you this. If you are saved, without exception, everyone who is saved can look back to a time when they were lost. And now they're found. That old hymn, I know it's old and I know it's popular, but it's absolutely accurate. I once was lost. I now am found. Was blind. Now I see. What is that telling us? It's telling us what the Bible tells us. People who are Christians are something now that they never were before. So that a person who is saved now, but they were lost. A person who is saved can see now, but they were blind. A person who is saved, they were going down, but now they're going up. You see? And that can only happen in the moment of time where you go from being lost to being found. I could tell you tonight, in a few short words, where I was saved. Happened right over here. If we open those curtains some night, we'll all turn and crimp our necks and look at that house, 379 Main Street, O'Leary. That's where I was saved. But you know, before that, I was lost. I knew the Bible. I knew the Bible better than some of you here tonight know it. I was still lost. I had gone to Sunday school, but I was still lost. I had come to gospel meetings. I am quite sure that I've heard as much gospel at that point as many people have heard in this gospel meeting tonight, but I was lost. Before I was saved, I was lost. Now hold on a second. If you had come to me on that Saturday night before when I was over here at the Lions Club playing music for a wedding dance and said, "Do you feel lost?" I would say, "No, I don't feel lost." But I was lost. You see, it's not about feeling lost, it's about being lost. It's not about feeling saved, it's about being saved. These things are clear in the Bible, my friend. We twist them to somehow become subjective to our own experience. The Bible preaches and teaches plain and clear truth. It's not about feeling lost. It's about being lost. So tonight, I might ask you, do you feel lost? You would say, no, I feel fine. But you are lost. And the lesson that we learn from this sheep is this. In a place of absolute lostness, there's a Savior. There's a Savior for the lost. Hard to say that without a smile, isn't it? When you think about it, the bad news that people have to deliver almost every day, when the policeman shows up and says, this is not the outcome that we had hoped for. We were looking for the person who is lost. They're dead. It's bad news. When the rescuers had gone out and they'd combed all of the area only to find that there's no trace of the person who has gone missing. That's bad news. But the story of the lost sheep is good news. Why? Because the lost sheep was lost, but now it's found. And how was it found? Because it cried loud enough? I don't think so. Was it found because it was more important than all of the other sheep? Absolutely not. It was found because the Savior went after it. The same thing now for us tonight. We're going to take the earthly story and give it that heavenly meaning. The shepherd in this parable is the Lord Jesus. The shepherd is the Lord Jesus who sought after the lost sheep. Right? That's why he said here, that's why it says here, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He was coming into the world to save sinners. If you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, you would find these words. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, the Lord Jesus left heaven to look for lost sheep. He came into this world in perfect harmony with the Scriptures and obedience to His Father out of love for you to come and seek you to save you. He came into this world, but He didn't stop at just coming into this world. He went right to the cross. Now, when this shepherd leaves the 99, he leaves a place of relative comfort, and he goes to a place where there's danger all around. He leaves a place that was probably on the hillside, and he goes to the place that's at the bottom of a ravine. He leaves the high place to go to the low place to save the lost sheep. But didn't the Lord Jesus leave the high place? And there's no place as low as the cross. He's nailed to that cross. I know the cross was on a hill. I know Jerusalem was on a mountain. But the lowest place on earth is that cross, where He underwent the wrath of God for sin, where He paid the price for sin. Why? He's looking for lost sheep. That's why. I am thankful I'm one of those lost sheep that He came after. And I look around here tonight and I see a lot of people and they nod their heads and they're in agreement. Why? Because they knew they were lost. Now they're saved. Now they're saved. I'm not going to do it. And it's not always easy to speak in public. But I could probably start a line right here and say, everyone who was lost, line up right here. And one by one, everyone who was lost but is now saved could tell you what happened. Now, if you don't know how to tell time, I wouldn't expect you to know what time it was on the clock, right? And if there was no such thing as a calendar, there's still a moment in a person's experience when they go from being lost to saved. And my focus tonight is this: to be able to tell people that I am saved means you would be able to tell them I once was lost. But now, as my time goes, I'm not going to get to verse 8. But now, the story about being saved wouldn't just be about that living room over there in that house across the street, right? If that's all I had for a story, then I wouldn't be saved. You know why? Because it's not my feelings that night that took me from being lost to being saved. What was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. So that in that account of my salvation from lost to saved, there's only one key element. What is it? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the entire reason that the lost sheep was found. The Lord Jesus Christ is the entire reason that this lost sinner is saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the entire reason that I'm going to be in heaven. But did you know? Did you know that the rejoicing in my heart the night I was saved and the rejoicing of others when I told them I was saved pales in comparison to the rejoicing there was in the presence of the angels of God the moment Christ saved me? I don't know if I would go very far for a sheep. Maybe you would. And I must say, to be honest, I don't know how far I would go for a lost sinner. But I'll tell you this. The man who left heaven and went to the cross, he sacrificed everything. Everything for you. Everything. We'll take one more look at these two phrases and then we'll finish. In our meeting tonight, you either are lost or you were lost. If you are lost, trust Christ tonight. You'll be saved. If you were lost, it means something has happened. Where Christ has saved you. According to the Bible, you'll never be lost again. Never be lost again. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus, for the cross, and for this shepherd who sought the sheep. Father, we do pray that there will be people tonight willing to face the truth from the Bible about being lost. For we know that there's one who has come to save. We do pray for those who couldn't be with us tonight. Thank thee for those who are listening online. And we do pray for salvation as a result of the power of God in the gospel. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.